displacements of life and the temptations of life, in the injustices of life, in the exaltations of life, God is real. That's the way people operate when they look at the vertical. There's no resentment there in Joseph or his brothers. Why, his brothers resented Joe because they lived in a horizontal life. Joe didn't resent them because he saw that God was doing something in his life. Do you see the different perspective, different approach to anything we deal with?
The truth is, you can't harbor resentment and trust God at the same time. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young shares the rest of his message, Resentment, where he shares the key to rooting out the bitterness of resentment in your life. Keep listening. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in a moment. Before we jump into Dr. Young's message, there's an encouraging resource being offered this month that you may find especially helpful in these challenging times. It's Dr. Young's booklet called Loneliness, and it's our way to say thanks for your donation today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching people all over the world through this program. People everywhere deal with the devastating effects of loneliness, and it's only gotten worse in recent months. But God created you for a life of fellowship and fruitfulness as you learn to love others just as He loves you. And Dr. Young's booklet will help you embrace that life of community and relationship. So call now to request your copy of Loneliness when you give to keep this program encouraging you and many others around the world. Call 1-800-350-9255. That's 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Resentment, Part 2.
Then he gave the third reason and said, I can't do it. It's because God sees me. See, that's our vertical guy, isn't it? Isn't that the dimension that we need? If we're horizontal livers like Jacob and his 10 sons, no, Joseph was a vertical liver. He looked up. Therefore, God was real in the temptations of life. And now we see God was real in the injustices of life. Remember what happened? Miss Potiphar, though she propositioned him day after day, Miss Potiphar finally grabbed his coat and tore his coat when he ran away from temptation. Joseph had a lot of coat problems, didn't he? And told her husband, he tried to sport with me, King James translation. Potiphar believed his wife, sent Joseph to prison. But in prison, Joseph knew that God was real in the injustices of life. You see, he was treated unjustly. He was convicted for that which he did not do when he was innocent. But still, God was real. And he came to the top of the heap and to the head jailer, looked at Joseph to run everything in the jail. Man, that's something, isn't it? Then finally, he interpreted the dreams of two of the prisoners. He got both of them accurate. One of them, the cupbearer, was restored to the right hand of Pharaoh as his wine taster. And when he left, the cupbearer said, you've been so wonderful to me, Joseph, as a fellow prisoner, and you predicted that I'd be released. I'm going to remember you to Pharaoh. 2 years went by. Little verse in there said he forgot Joseph. Didn't remember him. But with Joseph, God was real in the injustices of life. But then one day, remember Pharaoh's dream? He dreamed about there's a time of skinny cattle and fat cattle, and none of the soothsayers could understand what God was saying to Pharaoh. And so the cupbearer said, you know, there's a guy back in prison. What was his name? Boy, he could read. He could see the mind of God. He would understand what's going on in Egypt. He would interpret your dream. He said, what's his name? So, yeah, Joe, it was Joe. That's who it was. And so Pharaoh sent for Joseph. And Joseph went, by the way, the Bible, I like it. He shaved. He changed his coat again, you know. You see, the Israelites didn't shave. They had beards. The Egyptians were clean shaven. I think it's interesting to know that Joseph tried to adapt where he'd be pleasing to Pharaoh, see? And he went before him. He said, Pharaoh, I can interpret this dream. There are going to be 7 years of prosperity and 7 years of famine. You've got to find somebody who's going to take care of the goods for 7 years of prosperity so you can eat the 7 years of famine. Pharaoh said, that's the dream. That's the interpret. That's God's understanding. And Job said, you better get somebody who can handle this situation. You better get the wisest man in Egypt. Pharaoh said, you know, you're the only one who understood this. You must be the wisest man in Egypt. And he made Joseph, Joe, a Hebrew, right out of prison. He put him right in the middle of the palace. That's a big promotion, isn't it, from a prison to a palace? That's a quantum leap. But in the exaltation of life, God was real to Joseph, see? God was real to Joseph. And when Pharaoh, the Bible says, gave him a chariot, they put a car tag on saying number two, and said, everywhere Joe went, you're to bow your knee, you're to bow down before Joseph. I can imagine Joseph in that number two chariot going down the main streets of Cairo, and there's Mr. and Ms. Potiphar, and they bow down. Ms. Potiphar bows down lower than anybody has ever bowed down. Joseph is coming, prime minister. Because with Joseph, in the displacements of life, in the temptations of life, in the injustices of life, in the exaltations of life, God is real. That's the way people operate when they look at the vertical. There's no resentment there in Joseph for his brothers. Why, his brothers resented Joe because they lived in a horizontal life. Joe didn't resent them because he saw that God was doing something in his life. Do you see the different perspective, different approach to anything we deal with? Now, I've got a question for you. How in the world is Almighty God going to bring this wayward family that he had so blessed and selected back into covenant with him? How's God going to do this? How is God going to heal this family? He heals us the same way individually as he heals collectively, as he heals family today. Take your Bible, look at it with me. In chapter number 42 of Genesis, I'm going to take you on a quick trip. This is the healing. How does God work? You know the story. God works, first of all, through a hungry stomach. You know, the best preacher in the world is hunger. Best preacher in the world is cancer. Best preacher in the world is heartache. Best preacher in the world is brokenness. We just sort of coot it through the life till, whoom! Then we realize we've been living on the basis of our own fleshly strength and power. We realize we've forgotten the vertical, which is the reality of God. That happens, doesn't it? That's what happened here. And they were just cooling it there in Canaan until chapter 42. Then Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt. And Jacob said to his son, why are you staring at one another? Behold, I have heard there's grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us from that place so that we may live and not die. So he sent these brothers down there, 10 of them. When they went before the area to get grain, there was Joseph on the throne. He recognized his brothers. He called them forward. He said, why are you here? They said, to buy grain. He said, no, you're here to spy out the land. See, God is using Joseph as a redemptive agent with his brothers. They said, oh, no. So he put him in jail. There's injustice. What goes around comes around. He puts him in jail 3 days. And then he lets them out of jail. He said, tell me about your family. They told about Benjamin and their dad. And he said, I'll tell you what. I think you're here to spy out the land. I'm going to keep one of you here. He took Simeon, who was the bully of them all. He tied him up in his presence. We're going to keep Simeon here. If you come back for more grain, to prove you've been telling the truth about your family, bring your brother Benjamin with you. Or I'm not going to give you any more rain. I'm not going to let Simeon go. And so the brothers got out of there. But notice as they were getting out of there, they recognized what was going on in their life. And I want you to see this very, very clearly. As they go back, we see, first of all, the conviction of sin. That's where it starts. Look at chapter number 42, verse number 21. Truly we are guilty concerning our brother. This is Joseph. This is 20 years before. Because we saw the distress of his soul when he pleaded with us from the pit, yet we would not listen. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. There is conviction of sin. After all these years, all the low-down, rotten, scummy stuff they had done as brutes, as bullies, as murderers, as adulterers, as rapists, all of that, what they remembered was how they treated Joe. They were convicted of their sin. They didn't know who Joseph was up there before. They had no idea. He was some Egyptian potentate, the prime minister. But now as he talked to them, they said, oh, it's because of our brother. Then there's confession of sin. Look at verse 22. Reuben answered them saying, did I not tell you? I told you so. Do not sin against the boy. That was Joseph way back 20 years. And you would not listen. Now comes a reckoning for his blood. Oh, uncovering a lot of stuff here, aren't we? Conviction, confession. And now I want you to see how the repentance comes. They go back home. They tell their dad what happened. He said, look, I'm not letting you take Benjamin. I've lost Joseph. And now the Simeon, you've lost Simeon there to this Egyptian guy. I'm not going to let you take Benjamin down there. But what happened? They ran out of grain. This is a 7-year famine, folks. So they had to go back in order to live. So they go back again, and Jacob says, well, take Benjamin. And up stands a fourth brother, Judah. Not Reuben the oldest, not Simeon, not Levi, but Judah stands forward and says, Dad, I will stand for Benjamin. I guarantee you he'll come back, or I'll give my boys, or I'll give my life. Judah stands up as the substitute. Question, what tribe was Jesus born in? Judah. So they go back. Joseph greets them, takes them into the palace and says, take them out. I want to give them a meal there in my palace. And immediately they're upset. They say, oh my goodness, he's really going to do something to it. You see, when you got this great guilt running around in your life, ladies and gentlemen, even when you're blessed, even when you're prosperous, even when things are going by, you can't shake it if God hadn't dealt with it. Doesn't matter what happens. Oh, it's still there. It still stinks. It's still rotten. It's still painful. It's still debilitating. So everything that happened to them, they, oh, wait a minute, what's going to happen next? And Joseph was just batting them around. And now I want you to see what happened. They put the silver cup, remember, in Benjamin's bag when they left. Joseph went out and said, hey, he's the one that stole my silver cup off the table after I treated you so royally. He is the one. And that is when Judah steps up and says, oh, no, kill me. I'll be your slave. Uh-uh, not Benjamin. See, Joseph saw in the process those sorry, low-down, rotten brothers. They were going through a change. They were convicted of their sin. They confessed their sin. And now we see repentance of their sin as Judah stands forward and say, no, it'll break my dad's heart. It'll break my father's heart. Let Benjamin go back. See? And then we see the wonderful act of forgiveness. And that is found by Joseph. That was the beginning of our scripture. Verse 5, chapter 45. Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves, says Joseph, because you sow me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Verse 7, God sent me before you to preserve you for a remnant in the earth. Verse 8, now therefore it was not you who sent me here, but God. Verse 9, hurry up and go tell my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. You see the difference in Joseph and his brothers? Do you see it clearly? Joseph, because God was real, he saw in every situation of life that God was working, God was moving. And the brothers just saw the horizontal stuff. My prestige, my power, my ability. But look how God worked to change those boys. Conviction. Confession, repentance, forgiveness that was offered by Joseph. Then they go back and get big Jake and bring him. And now Jacob, if you read the scripture, begins talking about God. Jacob's come back home. And then they go to Egypt. Oh, they're blessed so magnificently there in the land of Goshen. Jacob goes and puts his hand and blesses Pharaoh. They have 14 years of wonderful worship and wonderful blessings there in Egypt until Big Jake dies. And then the brothers, 50th chapter of Genesis, they say, boy, now that our daddy is dead, man, he'll get revenge on us now. He's going to remember what we did to him. He's going to come and kill us all. And when they told Joseph this, he wept. He wept. Vertical people whom God is real are a mystery to horizontal people about whom God is dim or not there. See, they can understand that. I want you to take home two things. Not too much to carry, is it? Two things. First, understand the grace of guilt. The grace of guilt. That is what God gave to Jacob and those 10 rotten sons of his, the grace of guilt. If it had been you or me and those 10 guys with that track record, I would have taken them and punted them out of my plans. Wouldn't you? Sure you would. But God gives us the grace of guilt. And the guilt that came in their lives led them to a new life with their family and back into the reality of God, where God could use them again. You talk about the grace of guilt. Thank God that we have that operating in our lives, that he will not let us go. He gives us, he gives you the feeling of guilt when we need to feel guilty, the grace of guilt. And look for Joseph, what he gave to Joseph, the grace of forgiveness. See, he was resentful of these brothers. He totally forgave his brothers. And that's what we have. When God gives us, because of sin in your life and my life, the gift of guilt, then we know that he has provided us the gift of forgiveness, which comes to Jesus Christ as he said, I'll take her place, I'll take his place. And that's Calvary, and that's the cross, and that's who we are as individuals who are learning how to live vertical lifestyles. We look up and above and not down and around. Because God gives us the grace of guilt and the grace of forgiveness. Guess what? Vertical people have absolutely no room, for envy, revenge, bitterness, or resentment.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. And it's great to have Dr. Young here in the studio as we wrap up today's program. Dr. Young, in this message, you spoke about how Joseph lived vertically. That is, he looked to God in the midst of all that he suffered. Would you share a time in your life when all you could do was look up to God?
There's been many times when all I could do would be to look up to God. When I had a triple bypass a few years ago, all you can do is say, "Lord, here I am. I'm yours, warts and all," and look up to God. I remember when we were talking about earlier, my son Ed went out for the first time with his brand new driver's license. He went out by himself. All I could do would be to look up to God. There are many times in life, many, many times, too numerous to count, sometimes in little things, sometimes in gigantic things, sometimes in things that we hope and wish will come out this way. All we can do is look up to God and say, "God, I seek your will. I seek your face. I know you're sovereign, and therefore we rely on the sovereignty of God." So through life, those who know Christ know that we can look up to God through Jesus Christ, and he will give us prayerfully his peace and prayerfully his vision, and he will say to us in so many ways. He's got the whole world in his hands, but he'll say to you and me, "I've got you and me, brother. I've got you and me, sister, in my hands." That is the confidence and the peace that we have anytime when a man or woman who walks with Christ looks up to the Almighty.
You know, guilt is something we normally try to avoid, but you mentioned the grace of guilt. Tell us more about why feeling guilty can be a good thing in our lives.
Feeling guilt is a good thing. Now, we can be paranoid and feel guilty about so many, many trivial things, but guilt's a wonderful thing. It reminds us that we're out of sorts with others. We're out of sorts with God. Our life is not tracking. So the Holy Spirit comes and makes us feel guilty when we are guilty. That's the benefit of being a son or a daughter of God. Guilt's a wonderful thing. By the same token, if we feel guilt about silly things or guilt about things that we really couldn't have helped. So there are extremities here. And we can be paranoid in the area of guilt, but generally speaking, guilt is a wonderful gift of God. It causes us to look to him, to confess our sin, to turn away from that which has made us guilty. So we have to keep a sensitive conscience. And that's the reason we pray daily. That's when we read our Bibles daily. That's the reason we think in terms of him and try to see the world through biblical eyes. When we do that, there will be times of guilt. But the wonderful thing, if we confess our sin, he's able and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us of all the garbage and stench and guilt that we feel that is legitimate guilt. That is the wonderful grace of God.
Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope the Holy Spirit is moving through today's message to help you in your own winning walk with Christ. And we want to help you even further by sending you Dr. Young's booklet, Loneliness. You were created to enjoy a life of fellowship and fruitfulness, but so many people today feel trapped in an isolated existence. Discover how you can break free and step into the life of a loving community God wants for you with this helpful resource from Dr. Young. Loneliness is our special way to say thanks for your gift today to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy of Loneliness. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Listen in next week as Dr. Young shares proven truth straight from God's Word. That's Monday on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Have a great weekend.